This is the Perfect Pup Podcast, helping you build a better relationship with your pup, presented by Pupford.
Hello, pup parents, and welcome to today's episode of the Perfect Pup Podcast. My name is Devin. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend the Westminster Kennel Club dog show out here in New York City, and I learned some lessons from, surprisingly, the dog that had the slowest time in the agility trials. So I want to share some of these lessons with you, and I hope that they can help you have some more understanding and empathy for your dog and generally just love your dog more and have a better relationship with them. So let's get right into it. It's a warm spring day. A group of friends, we went out to the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. It was out in Queens at the Billie Jean King Tennis Center, which is a big kind of open tennis area. It's where they hold the US Open every year. And it's kind of an iconic venue in itself. And it was our first experience, all of us, going to any type of dog show. We really had no expectations other than we wanted to pet some dogs and see some amazing dogs do amazing things. As we explored the grounds and saw the different events happening, it really was an awe-inspiring experience. The dock diving was phenomenal. Dogs of every size jumping and leaping as far as they can just to get their favorite toy. We also saw the obedience trials where there's this precision communication and behavior between dog and handler, and they're getting directions and they're turning on a dime and they're going exactly to a certain spot, stopping and sitting, just obviously really well-mannered dogs. And we even got to do a dog breed meet and greet, which was really lived up to our expectations, what we wanted the most. We got to pet some giant Newfoundlands and Great Danes and some tiny Papillons and Beagles and everything in between and just meet these dogs with unique personalities. It was a lot of fun. But the best part and arguably the most entertaining experience at the dog show was dog agility. And it actually took place inside of Arthur Ashe Stadium, which, little did I know, is the largest tennis arena in the world. As we walked in and you see these dog obstacles, you know, I'd seen some dog agility online, seen a little bit on TV, but nothing major. I'm by no means an expert in dog agility or anything like that. And to see the dog agility laid out in this massive arena, it was quite a breathtaking view. And we luckily got to sit pretty close. There weren't a ton of people there. And as these dog agility trials started, it was an amazing experience. These dogs were very, very fast. They were seemingly gliding over the jumps, going through the tunnels with ease, you know, stopping on a dime, doing exactly what their handler asked them to. Just this really the top notch, the cream of the crop of dogs and behavior and speed and agility and just sport. It was sport in its purest form. And, you know, we saw dozens and dozens of dogs run. And with each one, it was, you know, you're cheering for them to go faster. You know, you can see the dogs that are seemingly going to be really quick and they hit the first few turns really fast. And you're keeping an eye on the clock. And it's kind of this fun experience that I'd never had before. I've always grown up with sports. I've loved sports my whole life. And this was one of my favorite sporting events I've ever been to. It was just dogs competing and competing with themselves is what was kind of eye-opening as well. And we'll talk more about that. And after about a dozen or so dogs running pretty quick times, you know, most of them were in the 40, 45 seconds to maybe up to a minute range was kind of the average for these dogs. And after a dozen or so, a retriever stepped out and it was just, I love retrievers. I have two Labradors. This one was a golden retriever and it started off really well. It ran through the first few obstacles with speed, with precision. It was, you know, good eye contact and communication with its handler. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, he seemed to forget where he was. He ran off into a corner. He was sniffing for what seemed like treats or toys. He even came to kind of the edge of the arena and was peeking its head up and over to look at these people and maybe thinking, who are these people? Why are they watching me? Like, they seem excited. I'm excited. His tail was wagging. He was having a good time, but he was not making good time. He was spending, you know, 30 to 60 seconds just walking around exploring, which again, in the scheme of dog agility is your entire timing. And, you know, the human, she was clearly a little bit frustrated and a little bit, I think, disappointed and was trying to get her dog back and trying to re-engage him and get him back onto the course. And then as much as he had kind of gone haywire and just gone off and done his own thing, out of nowhere, he kind of snapped back and he came right back in and the communication began again and he finished out the time trial. And the time that he was actually running, if you take out the minute or so of meandering, would have probably been a top 10 or 15 time out of dozens and dozens of dogs. But that moment of him exploring, you see this kind of panic on the handler's face and she doesn't know exactly what to do. And the crowd's honestly going wild. Everyone loved it. People are cheering. People are laughing. I stood up. I clapped. I thought it was great. It was this moment of remembering that these are dogs, they are individuals, and you see them run these perfect time trials and it's like, wow, it almost seems robotic. But then it was a reminder of, hey, this is a real dog with a real experience. And as I stepped away from that and, you know, we continued, saw the rest of the dogs run, I had a lot of thoughts about what that experience taught me. And more specifically, I tried to watch the handler and see how she was going about that experience as her dog was off wandering on the course in what is arguably the top competition in dog agility. So I'm going to share three quick lessons that I gleaned from this that hopefully can help you have a better relationship with your dog. The first one is relationship over results. So again, as the handler, as she's training for this experience and to kind of see it all slip away, I was watching her. And while she was frustrated, it wasn't anger. She wasn't mad. She didn't seem bothered at her dog necessarily. I think she was a little sad that, you know, they'd worked that hard and it was kind of falling apart per se. But it was clear that she understood that her relationship with her dog and the long-term effects were more important than the result in that specific moment. When her dog came back and kind of snapped back into agility mode, she very easily could have just been disappointed and kind of, you know, haphazardly run through the rest of the course, knowing that their time was going to be long. But she went at it. She kept going. And when they finished, she gave her dog plenty of praise, plenty of love. It was clear that she understood that the relationship was more important than just that one result in that one time trial. And we have moments like that with our dogs on a daily basis where they do these things where you feel like you know that they know they shouldn't be doing it or that it's something that you've been working on and it can feel frustrating. But in those moments, how we react can often have more important long-term effects on our relationship than the direct result of what's happening in that moment. You know, if your dog's already chewing up flowers, the flowers are chewed up. It's over. It's done. Just like the time had already passed on the clock for that retriever, there's no way she could go back and restart the time. That's not how the competition works. And we can't go back and make our dogs not chew up the flowers. But how we react and how we move forward with our dogs can affect the relationship in the long term. And it was clear that the handler understood that. She didn't want to scold. She didn't want to get angry at her dog. She wanted to re-engage, praise her dog, and keep moving forward and move on again to the next competition, because there certainly will be another in the future. The second lesson that I learned from this meandering retriever is to have empathy for our dog's mistakes. Our dogs are going to make mistakes just like we are as humans. Would have that handler preferred a faster time? Of course. Would we prefer that our dog doesn't have another accident on our new rug? Certainly. Would that handler have preferred to qualify and move on to the next round? I'm sure she would have. And are there times where we wish our dog would not yank towards a squirrel, even though we've been working on impulse control? Yes, of course. But our dogs are going to make mistakes. And how are we going to empathize with them and with their innate behaviors and with the wiring that is in their brains? What that handler taught me and honestly, I think everyone in the arena is that dogs are unique and they have personalities and they will make mistakes. And dogs, I would argue, are some of the most empathetic and compassionate and forgiving creatures that we interact with on a daily basis. So how can we return that favor to them? How can we show empathy and understanding of, hey, chasing after a squirrel, that is a part of your deep wired emotions and basically modus operandi as a dog? And how can we be empathetic towards that instead of just reacting with anger and frustration and feeling like our dog is doing something bad or wrong, or they want to do something that we don't like just to be annoying or whatever? How can we be more empathetic to what our dogs are experiencing as dogs in a human first world? It's a challenge. It has to be difficult for them to have to adapt to everything that we want for them. Just like that dog, you know, its natural instinct is not to run and jump precisely over specific obstacles and run through a tunnel. No, its natural inclination is to explore the things around, to sniff, to smell where all the other dogs have been, to look at the people in the crowd. Especially as a fun loving retriever, it probably wanted to just go up and get pets from everyone in the crowd. And it was such a great lesson to remember that we need to be empathetic to our dogs and to their behaviors that to us might be frustrating and might seem out of hand or bad behaviors, but to them, it's just something natural that comes easily to them and is part of their wiring. Third lesson I learned, or it made me think of, or what I should ask is, what does winning mean for your dog and for our dogs in particular? At this competition, it was eye-opening to see that, yes, it was a competition. There were quote-unquote winners. It really felt like every single dog won. And not in the sense of everyone gets a participation trophy, that kind of winning, but really in the sense of each dog enjoyed it. Each dog seemed to be having an amazing time. The dogs, the handlers, you know, there were a couple instances where it seemed like the handlers maybe weren't super nice to their dogs, but the vast majority of them, the dogs and humans were having an amazing time. You know, these watching dock diving, whether it was the furthest jump or the shortest jump, the dogs were just as stoked to be leaping off the dock and going after a toy, regardless of how far they went. And even in this dog agility, the slowest dog that I watched, this wandering retriever, it had an amazing time. I'm sure of it. It had a lot of fun running the course as it was running it. It had a lot of fun exploring. It really showed that dogs are winning when they are having healthy outlets and they are doing things that they enjoy. So how can we know what winning is for our dogs? For everyone, it's different. For some dogs, it might be not barking at the neighbor's dog on your walk that they almost always bark at. For others, it's winning the Westminster Kennel Club dog agility. For some, it's just getting an uninterrupted belly rub from their favorite person. Winning is different for every single dog. And so try to find what makes your dog tick and what really makes them happy and give them opportunities to do that on a daily basis. I hope that if you have the opportunity to go to any type of dog agility or dock diving or dog show, you go. It doesn't have to be the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. I know that's kind of one of the most well sought after ones, but any dog competition is an experience that you should go. It is so entertaining and it's the pureness of dogs. It's their desire to work with humans and to do fun things just encapsulated in this tiny competition that really brings out the best of each dog. There's no, you know, dog sulking in the corner because the other dog that went after it got a 3-second faster time. There's no dog complaining to the refs because of what another dog did. You know, it is dogs being dogs in their purest form. And you just might learn some amazing lessons like I did from this retriever, that life is short with our dogs. We can have empathy for them. They're going to make mistakes. We can prioritize our relationship over minuscule or momentary results. And of course, we can find what winning is for our dogs and for our unique situation. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the most helpful way to support this podcast. And on top of that, of course, would be supporting Pupford, buying Pupford treats, chews, signing up for 30-day Perfect Pup. We have loads of free content in the Pupford Academy library, paid and, you know, premium content as well, but there's so much in there. And other than that, we will catch you on the next episode.